Happy Mother's Day to all you mothers who are here this morning. And welcome to everyone whose mothers got dragged you here today. We're glad that you're here this morning. If this is your first time here with us, my name is Pastor Justin. I am one of the pastors on the staff here. I have the privilege of being able to present my first series, and we are in week two of that series, Pray Then Like This. If we could pull up what we're doing, we are going through each week a different aspect of the Lord's Prayer and an applicable way for us to pray. A method, not saying the Lord's Prayer is what we're supposed to robotically pray, but a method for us to be able to approach God in communication with Him. Last week, you can pull it back up, Jared. So last week, we were talking about, in our acronym, P-R-A-Y, Praise, Repent, Ask, Yield. Last week, the first week, we went over praise, how praise needs to be in our prayers every day. And today, we are talking about repent, repenting in prayer. Ha! Yay! You're here on Mother's Day for the first time. Think you're going to get a nice little message. Gotcha. No, it won't be too bad. It's not going to be as funny. I had someone tell me this morning, like, man, I've never laughed so much in a Sunday morning message before. I'm like, oh, you're not going to laugh that much this week. I'm going to tell you right now. Not going to be too funny. But let's get back into what we're going over, the Lord's Prayer. Pull up Matthew 6, 19 through 13, and then we will pray. Pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Lord God, I thank you so much for the opportunity to come before your people and to present your word. Lord, I pray that I would be an accountable and integritable presenter of your word, that nothing would come out of me that is in alignment with the proper doctrine and theology. Lord, the things that you would speak, I pray they'd be the only things that I speak. Lord, rob my mouth of anything of man. Rob my mouth of anything that would not bring you glory and not present yourself to your people. I pray that we would be ready to learn and to receive your word, and you would do your good work through it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. So point number one, jumping right into it. Point number one. And how we pray with repentance in our prayers. Every prayer, our daily prayers, should involve our repentance. And that's point number one, our repentance. So if you're taking notes on how to pray, we need to pray our repentance. Pretty rudimentary, but let's jump into, again, a full chapter together. Psalm 51. Again, I'm sorry to my sister. I love you. Have mercy on me, O God. And this is a psalm of David. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, you delight in truth in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart. You're laughing. Something's funny. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways and sinners will return to you. Deliver me from my blood guiltness, O God, and God of my salvation, and my tongue will sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. For you will not delight in sacrifice, or I would give it. You will not be pleased with a burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God. you will not despise. Do good to Zion in your good pleasure. Build up the walls of Jerusalem. Then will you delight in right sacrifices and burnt offerings and the whole burnt offerings. Then bulls will be offered on your altar. Psalm 51. There's a lot. It's a long psalm. And I'll tell you right now, praying scripture is so important. I will tell you anytime I come to the Lord with repentance, at least one verse from this psalm, I am praying. There is so much to unpack. A whole sermon of repentance itself from this psalm. Renew in me a right heart, God. Return to me the joy of my salvation. Lord, what do you require is a broken and contrite spirit, not offerings on the altar. What God is doing in David once he prays this, he is aligning himself back up with God. He is, and as we should pray this over ourselves, praying scripture is so important. But David, as he wrote this, he is focusing himself back onto God. Because repentance is not shame. Repentance is a broken heart. Now, how many of us, we prayed the sinner's prayer or some form of it when we first came to the Lord? And maybe you haven't yet. And you're like, I don't know what that is. I'm just here because my mommy made me. I'm here to bless her today. And good job for coming with your mother today. But when we pray the prayer of salvation, right? I'm a firm believer of, like, once you have accepted Jesus Christ in your heart and you believe that he is the Son of God, come, died, resurrected, he lives at the right hand of God, and he is our intercessor, and we are connected to God because of his sacrifice, and you've accepted that, salvation is yours. However, the sinner's prayer is not a get out of jail free card. It is a prayer starting a new life. So our repentance needs to be a daily prayer. And that is not so that you can feel shame every day. It's so that you can remember the joy of your salvation. Renew in me a clean heart, O God. Let me remember the joy of my salvation. Our repentance is not about shame or guilt. It's remembering the mercy of God, and it needs to be daily on our lips. Matthew 5:3 from Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Poor in spirit, what does that mean? We've broken it down many times, right? Poor in spirit means you are spiritually bankrupt. You are aware of your need of God. And God, and Jesus said, blessed are those. Theirs is the kingdom. Not those who, as we learned last week, when I was balancing around the idea of the scripture of the tax collector and the guy who fasted twice a week and said he was awesome, if you remember, that man, the tax collector, was aware of his need for mercy. And that applies in praise just as much as repentance. And this is why that's important. Again, we are not to sit in the shame of what we've done, but the joy of the mercy of God and realizing our constant daily need for his goodness. Whether it's, I stumbled again, Lord, or it's, I remember what you did then. It's daily on our lips, daily on our lips to be grateful for what he's done. And when we're aware of the daily need that we need to come before him, just like as we'll learn and as we talk about next week in asking for our daily bread, but daily realizing I wake up with nothing. I wake up with no glory. I wake up with no holiness. I wake up with no mercy. I need to come before the Father every day and say, your mercies are new every morning. Though there is torment in the night, joy comes in the morning. And I need it, Lord. I need it this morning. I need to wake up remembering the goodness of God because I wake up with zero in my bank account of holiness. And every day we need to come before the Lord with that. There are so many, and not to pick on any specific in big church media, but there are so many high-level pastors who have come and were awesome and they stumbled to sin. So many who would rise and they would get famous and they would think they're secure. And because of lack of accountability and remembering God's mercy, remembering their daily need, because many of them don't, none of them want to fall. None of them want to live a double lifestyle. But they get to a point where they're like, I'm doing so awesome. Surely God is just doing things with me because I'm so great and nothing is going to happen to me. And those are the men and women who stumble when they don't remember their need for God regularly. When we come to God with humility and self-evaluation in our prayers, pride and stumbling will decrease. It is so hard to both sin when you remember you have to bring it to God every day, but it is so easy to not feel ashamed from it when you come to a relationship with a God every day. They're like, I'm sorry again, Lord. I got rid of it. I'm sorry again, Lord, it's gone. And that should not be abused, but it should be remembered that we have a God who doesn't want us to sit in shame. We should both be disgusted by our sin and remember there is a God who is merciful, who says, don't carry the shame of that. It's gone. So our repentance is not a thing to make us feel belittled or less than, but to remember the mercy of God. Psalm 139, 7 through 12. Where shall I go from your spirit, or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall overcome me, and the light shall about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as day, for darkness is as light with you. There is nowhere we can go that's too far for God. And therefore, there is no sin that he's going to be shocked by. He is not unaware of our stumbling. In fact, he already knew it before you even came to the point where you finally are going to repent of it. He already dealt with it. So, and the darkness is not too dark for him. It's as bright as day for him. He doesn't shine his light on us so he can say, I got you. He doesn't shine his light on us and get nauseous. Like, oh, where are you at, Justin? You're like, oh. That's gross. Ew. Sorry I made that one. No, he shines his light on us so that he can wake us up. His light is not there to point us out and say, look at this imposter. But it's to say, look, I found my son. I found my daughter. Let's go home. Because we have to remember what the word repent really is. It's a very churchy word, right? Repent, repent, repent. A lot of times, if I say that word right now, you're like, dang it, I'm here on Mother's Day and I heard the word repent. I hate it. It's a trigger word for me. Some of you it might be, but we need to remember what the word actually means. It literally means to turn around. I was doing that, and then I'm going to say, no, God, I'm not going to do that. And every day we need to pray this because we're dumb sheep, and every day we're going to do this, and then every day we got to do this, and then it's daily recognizing that. But we have a God who's a good shepherd. He's like, no, this way. But not once will he strike us and call us stupid for it. He's a good God who loves us. And daily we need to recognize that. 1 John 3, 19 through 23. Coffee's in front of that clock, so I'm glad I have my watch. By this we shall know that we are of the truth and reassuring our hearts before him. For whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God, and whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he commanded us. For whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our hearts. Again, as someone who's familiar, who's battled to be transparent with shame for my own sin, like, I got to be better than that. I got to do better than that. I can't believe I did this again. God knows that. He says, don't let your own heart condemn you. Your own heart is wicked, and that's why you fell into the sin. But don't let that same heart condemn you. Don't let your flesh tell you, no, you suck. But that's the beauty, is we kind of do suck. But we have a God who loves us. So don't let that condemn you. Again, a God who is outside of time, who is in this moment, in the past, also in the future, was already on the cross for the sin that you are going to repent of tomorrow. He just wants us to be in right relationship with him to recognize that, to not let pride or shame or guilt or bitterness disconnect that relationship. It is done. Grab onto that. We need to develop a healthy relationship with repentance. We need to both be disgusted by our sin, but desire to change and know that God has already done the work. Psalm 103, 12 through 14. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. He forgets it because east never meets west. In case you need a geographical reminder, we're on a globe. Some of you, maybe shocker, I'm not a flat earther. I think it's a ball, but that's okay. But east and west usually don't meet. This is hyperbole to say your sin is gone. It's just done. It's just done. It's just gone. And he remembers our frame. He knows what he made us out of. He remembers our shortcomings. He says it's done. All right, so point number one, our daily prayer should involve our repentance. Point number two, forgiving others. Forgiving others. Pull back up Matthew 6:12 for me. I should just have 6:12, but I can read to 12 right there. Okay. And forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. In Matthew's account here of the Lord's Prayer, as soon as the Lord's Prayer concludes, Jesus doesn't end talking about prayer. In fact, his immediate follow-up about talking about prayer is on forgiveness. Matthew chapter 6, 14. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. This is an unfortunate thought for many, including myself. But the forgiveness of our sins is as much about our sins as it is about others' sins. The forgiveness of our sins is as much about our own sins as it is about the sins of others. Matthew 5, 21 through 24. You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder. And whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council. And whoever says, you fool, will be liable to the hell of fire. So if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. When we harbor unforgiveness, we create a bond between the sins committed against us and our own sin. Now, there's not many things God can't do. But he can't forgive what you hold on to. If you give to God your sin and say, forgive me of this, but you're holding on to the hand of the one who sinned against you, and you don't let go of that, he can't take you to where you need to go. You have bound yourself with your unforgiveness. This is heavy, I know. But God himself says it here. I can't forgive if you don't let go. Our repentance involves more than just what we've done. It involves what others have done. And I'm not unaware of the horrible things that people have done. Again, forgiveness is not about giving trust, and it's not about inviting those people back into your life. It's about your freedom. It's about your spirit being made renewed. It's about you entering into right relationship with God. That person might not even want forgiveness. And in some cases, you don't even have to talk to them about it. But it's between you and God and say, I want freedom from this because I know that I need forgiveness of my sins. Because what happens if that person, they're looking and found Jesus, but you're still holding on to their sin? God is keeping us accountable to what we do and then what others do to us. The measure of which we pour out is the measure of which will be returned to us. Daily, we need to examine our own hearts and say, Lord, I need to ask your forgiveness. And Lord, teach me to forgive. Teach me to forgive. God would rather there be forgiveness in his house than for a tainted offering of praise. He'd rather say, leave now and go gain that forgiveness or give out that forgiveness than to be here sitting in bitterness. Yeah. And I was praying even this morning. I was like, God, I need to prepare myself for this. I said, who is there any unforgiveness in my heart for, Lord? And God brought a couple people up to my mind. And if we could go back, could we go back one slide, Jared? Is that possible? Yeah, right there. Stay right there for me. And I was like, God, there's no one. I don't think of that there's any unforgiveness in my heart towards. And he's like, well, what about this person? I was like, I just think that person's an idiot. Oh, wait. Oh, wait. And whenever whoever says, you fool, yeah, stay right there. Whoever says, you fool, will be liable to hell of fire. Unforgiveness is still worrying about the intelligence or the disagreements with others. Again, we don't have to agree, but we sure do like to fight a lot now these days. You don't like the same color I like. You're dumb. I like red. You like blue. And just take a little drink real quick. We are accountable to this. All right, I'll move on. Stop making them feel all comfy. We need to pray for the prayer of repentance, and we need to pray the prayer of forgiveness. Luke 23:34. And here's why. Oh, wait. No? Mm-mm. Luke 23:34. That's all right. I got my big old brick right here. All right. Let me get in here real quick. Luke. I had another one I was going to bring up anyways. Luke 23:34. All right. Here we are. Ready? Jesus is on the cross right now. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they cast lots to divide his garments. Forgive them, Father, they know not what they do. In the moment he was on the cross to bear the sins of those laughing at him and dividing his clothes, he said, I'm here right now to forgive this. At that moment, he was getting ready with his last breath to receive what they're doing. He forgave what they're doing. And you know what's incredible about him forgiving that? There's some that would never, ever receive it, and some who died in their sin. And there's those who were there who received that forgiveness immediately after. You know what I learned about this week? It blew my mind. There's a saint that I had never heard about named Saint Longinus. He was a Roman soldier who was there at Jesus' crucifixion. And he's actually the one who made sure he was dead by stabbing him in the side. And after that, it's believed he's the same soldier who said, surely this is the Son of God. And he became one of the first to follow Jesus. And all the other Romans were like, you know, dude, you got to stop with this. And he wouldn't stop. He said, I received healing and I received salvation from this Jesus that we killed. And the Romans were like, you know what we're going to do? We're going to pluck out your eyes and teach you a lesson not to talk about this Jesus anymore. And he kept doing it as a blind man in the corner, proclaiming God's goodness. And they're like, okay, that's it. We're done with you. They killed him. He was one of the first martyred saints. And when Jesus was on the cross, he looked at that man who was about to stab him and said, Lord, forgive him. And he was one of the first to receive that forgiveness. We cannot withhold what he gave. And I know it's hard. I know how hard it is for some of you. I know what horrible things were done to some of you. But I want your freedom. I want your freedom. Another form of repentance for others or forgiving others is intercession. Now, intercession is used in so many different ways. It can be used for asking as well. Interceding, Miley used the word earlier. She asked for us to intercede for her. Interceding is praying intentionally for other people. And Nehemiah did this for his people. Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 4 through 11. And this is Nehemiah. We spoke about him. I preached about him a few weeks ago. Nehemiah was a cupbearer for the king in Babylon during the exile. And when he first heard about how ruined the city was, this was his prayer and this was his response to hearing about how his homeland, where his family came from, where his people are from, where God's people are from, this was his response. As soon as I heard these words, I sat down and wept and mourned for days. And I continued fasting and praying before the God of heaven. And I said, O Lord God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments. Let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer of your servant that I now pray before you day and night for the people of Israel, your servants, confessing the sins of the people of Israel, which we have sinned against you, even I and my father's house have sinned. We have acted very corruptly against you and have not kept the commandments, the statutes, and the rules that you commanded your servant Moses. Remember the word that you commanded your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the peoples. But if you return to me and keep my commandments and do them, though your outcasts are in the uttermost parts of heaven, from there I will gather them and bring them to the place that I have chosen to make my name dwell there. You keep going. They are your servants and your people whom you have redeemed by your great power and by your strong hand. O Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant and to the prayer of your servants who delight to fear your name, and give success to your servant today and grant him mercy in the sight of this man. Now I was a cupbearer to the king. This was a prayer of intercession, of repentance. Now, Nehemiah's prayer did not forgive or count as repentance for the people. They have to seek it themselves. This was a prayer, God, changed their hearts and let them lean towards you, towards repentance. Lord, I pray that you would soften the hearts of my brothers and sisters. Lord, I pray that they would come to know you. And I'm going to say, If you're here for the first time today, there is a good chance you are here because of the intercession of your mother. There are many of you here today because of the intercession of your mother. Your mother sought God for you, and praise God that you are here. And there might be those who have asked you to be here who prayed for you beforehand, mothers or not. And that's what we need to be doing, is seeking God on behalf of others. God, change their hearts. Let them lean into you. Let them find you. God, redeem them. Let them find you, God. I pray that in their darkness, they would see the light. We are called to not only forgive, but seek out the lost. Both us reaching out and being messengers of the gospel, but by interceding and preparing for those people as well. When we see our brothers and sisters struggle, judgment is not what they need. They need us to pull them up and be the light and pray for them earnestly. Point number three. Strength. Oh, wait. No, I have one more scripture. I'm sorry. I jumped you. That's my fault. Go to Luke 22. Oh, wait. Yeah, Luke 22, 32 through 34 again for me. And this is the one. I actually wanted verse 31. I forgot to put that in. That's my fault. So that's what I have pulled up here. So I'm going to start one verse before. All right? So Luke 22, 31 through 34. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you, that he might sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you, that your faith may not fail. And when you have returned again, strengthen your brothers. Peter said to him, Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death. Jesus said, I tell you, Peter, the rooster will not crow this day until you deny me three times that you even know me. Jesus even interceded on behalf of Peter. So the enemy wanted you, Peter, but I said, nah, you're not taken, my boy. When we see those around us struggle, our job is not to be like, we need to pray for them. I'm just going to bring up a prayer request. I just heard so-and-so is dealing with this. I'm like, what we need to do right now is pray. That's gossip. We don't need gossip prayer. We need intercession prayers. Intercession prayers. All right? That's what our brothers and sisters need. Not condemnation, but Lord, capture their hearts again. Now we can move on. Point number three, strength to overcome. Matthew 6, 13. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. The conclusion of the Lord's Prayer. This has to do with our sins. This has to do with our repentance. Because once we have overcome, once we recognize our need to repent, we need to have the desire to be transformed people. We are not to desire to fight it. But God, just deliver us. Pull us out of that, should be our prayer. But when we're in it, Lord, strengthen us to overcome. John 8, 2 through 11. Early in the morning, he came again to the temple, meaning Jesus. All the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. The scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery, and placing her in the midst, they said to him, Teacher, this woman has been caught in the act of adultery. Now, in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such a woman. What do you say? Snakes. This they said to test him, that they might have some charge to bring against him. Jesus bent down and wrote with his finger on the ground. And as they continued to ask him, he stood up and said to them, Let him who is without sin among you be the first to throw a stone at her. And once more he bent down and wrote on the ground. But when they heard it, they went away one by one, beginning with the older ones. And Jesus was left alone with a woman standing before him. Jesus stood up and said to her, Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you? She said, No one, Lord. And Jesus said, Neither do I condemn you. Go and from now on sin no more. Jesus does not condemn us. He is our Redeemer. He is our forgiver. He is the one who protects us. But he also has a requirement of us. Go and sin no more. As we've already established, this is impossible. And we need daily to come to the Lord for forgiveness, for examination. But there is still a standard that we need to strive for. Perhaps not to get to, but there is something he wants us to work towards. And this isn't to make our faith works-based again. There are some theologies and doctrines who would try to make it about work again. And Paul wrote endlessly in the New Testament about those who are bewitched to say it's about their works again, or circumcision, that it's not about works. It's about faith in Jesus Christ. However, that faith should lead you into wanting to be a changed person, to become like your Christ, to be an image of Jesus. And so it's not about redeeming ourselves through works, but we should want to have the strength to overcome. And this is in the Lord's Prayer. This should be in our daily prayer. Lord, I receive today's grace, both for the forgiveness of my sins and to help me to be an overcomer. Lord, lead me into this. We should pray with our repentance that temptation doesn't even come our way. However, in Hebrews 4, 14 through 16, since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We have a high priest. We had a Jesus. We had Jesus the moment after his baptism, fasting for 40 days and was tempted in every way. Yet he is without sin. He was all God, yet all flesh, and was able to overcome. He understands our weaknesses. As we already established, we are dust. He is divine. However, he is sympathetic. He is not unaware of what we need. Yet we should pray to overcome, because he says here, let us with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So our prayers, when we are seeking direction from God, should not be, is this okay to do, God? Lord, would you forgive me for this? I mean, come on, be honest. How many times have you prayed knowing, like, God's just going to forgive me? I don't know if I can overcome this temptation right now, but I know I have a good God who loves me, and so I'm going to do it, and then I'm going to repent right afterwards. That is an abuse of grace. In that moment, we should be like, God, I'm really having a hard time right now. I'm really having a hard time right now. And what you do, men who need accountability, call your accountability partner. If you don't have one, you're asking for trouble. Or go to the gym, or get out, or whatever. If you're having a hard time, do not sit in that thing and do not ask God, is this okay? Or will you forgive me? But we should be asking in our prayer, does this please you, Lord? Or ask the question, what am I becoming by what I'm doing? What am I becoming by what I'm doing, Lord? Or you could ask this very simple prayer. What would Jesus do? For Easter, Shai was very smart. She got put in the baskets for the kids. I haven't had a what would Jesus do bracelet in a long time. And Shai bought a couple for the kids for the Easter baskets. I said, let's make this a family thing. Let's all have them. She's like, awesome, let's do that. I'll order four. And so I've made this my daily walking around bracelet. You know, my dad's got all his bracelets for minor things. And so I said, you know what I'm going to do? Just, what would Jesus do? Constantly on my hand. Constantly here. Let that be a daily prayer. It's so corny because it's early 90s neon whatever, you know. But it's still true. Jesus, what would you do? I want to be more like you, Jesus. I don't want to be something that you just, I don't want to be an excusable gray area Christian. I want to look like you, Jesus. So how do I become looking more like you, Jesus? That's what we should strive for. So God, give us the strength to overcome. All right? I hope you're not too uncomfy. Happy Mother's Day. So I have a couple things to finish up. Again, I have applications for us for each week, for us to practice in our prayer. All right. So these are the applications for this week. Focus on repentance in your prayers. Let God search your heart. As David prays, search me and know me, O God. Let him examine your heart for unforgiveness and ask for the strength to overcome. One more thing before we conclude, and if you could stand with me. And let's even close our eyes. How about that? If you are here and repentance is foreign, or you have not accepted Jesus, and you're like, you know what? It's time. I haven't heard repentance like this before, and I want to be free of my sin and shame and become close to Jesus. I'm not going to ask you to come up front. I'm going to ask you pray right now for the first time. And I'm going to actually pray all of Psalm 51 over us again. Because Psalm 51 was the prayer of repentance that David wrote after he had sinned by committing adultery with Bathsheba, and then having her husband murdered so that he could take her. And when he was convicted in his sin and recognized his wickedness, he wrote this. But if you study your word, it says here, a psalm of David after he sinned with Bathsheba and killed Uriah, a psalm for the choir master. Now that means after David wrote this in private, he made it public. He said, this was my sin as your king. I royally screwed up. And I am asking for forgiveness before God, who I sinned against, but also that my people would know I messed up. And let this be a usable prayer for everyone who needs repentance. And this is why David was considered a man after God's own heart. He was a dummy. He sinned constantly. Yet he was aware of his need for God and drew close to him. And that's why God was able to say, this is a man after my own heart. So I am going to read this as a prayer for us and close this out in prayer. As I do so, if you feel the Lord leading you to connect with him for the first time, pray with me. And then if you would like more resources, please come see me at the door or any of the other pastors. But right now, take the moment, even if it's the first time or the 100th time you're meeting with God, please do so now as I pray. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy. Blot out my transgression. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, you delight in truth in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you. Deliver me from my blood guiltness, O God, O God of my salvation, and my tongue will sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise, for you will not delight in sacrifice. I would give it. You will not be pleased with a burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. Do good to Zion in your good pleasure. Build up the walls of Jerusalem. Then will you delight in right sacrifices and burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings. Then bulls will be offered on your altar. Lord God, let this be our prayer. Examine our hearts. I pray that repentance, not of shame, not of guilt, but of wanting to be right with you and connected to you, God, let our hearts be changed. Give us your grace to both forgive us of our sins and renew our minds to give us the strength to overcome. Lord, I pray that those who received you for the first time today, I pray blessings to them and the strength you overcome, that you renew their mind now. And those who are returning to you, Lord, the prodigal would find you ready with a feast and you would do your good work. I pray that today mothers would be celebrated. They would be loved as they have been intercessors for us. Lord, I pray that you would bless them. Bless them 100 times over today. And I pray for the interceding mother who has not yet seen the return of her children, Lord. I pray strength over her prayers. And I intercede right now for those children, Lord, that you would do your good work and you would bring them to a brokenheartedness to return them to you, Lord. I pray that your house would praise you and adore you today. And we would go in peace and blessing. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Have a wonderful Mother's Day.